Nalsoft has completely rebuilt its WinAMP MP3 player on the Wasabi coding platform, targeting developers looking to personalize and customize the popular digital media program. And there is word that AOL Music is finalizing plans for a premium version of the WinAMP 3 upgrade that targets the developer community. Friday's announcement hyped the inclusion of the Wasabi platform, which lets WinAMP users tinker with components in the player. With Wasabi, any component of WinAMP can be restored or replaced, allowing third-party developers freedom to customize and add new features to the player. AOL Music, which runs the Nullsoft subsidiary, said an advanced platform for developers would introduce a new component-based architecture that provides easy access to a range of interoperable plugins. The advanced WinAMP features an MP3-based skinning and UI engine that allows for advanced designs including animations, alpha transparency, color themes, and smooth scaling of components. For WinAMP fans, the ability to twist and tinker with the player is a big hit, and by building the new version on Wasabi, the plan is to do away with the old plugin system. WinAMP, which competes with Microsoft's Windows Media Player and Real Network's Real Player software, hyped the upgrade as a free-form skinnable player that supports designs that completely change the look, shape, and functionality of the player. It allows player skins to be scaled from 25% up to full screen, and promotion skins that can help with AOL's marketing effort. Media playback capabilities add support for video playback, seamless song transitions via crossfading, and gapless playback for CDs and other digital media. WinAMP 3 also introduces a new media library that lets users organize, browse, and search music and video files through a new interface. Files played on the WinAMP 3 are stored in a media library database, allowing the entire media collection to be sorted by year, genre, artist, and type. The new build includes a new playlist editor that adds support for playlist management, including multiple playlists and multiple playlist editors, as well as additional ways of sorting files. Additionally, a new utility called Thinger has been added to provide access to key features and can be personalized when new functionality is added via a plugin. While the player adds many exciting new features, it's not good news for blind users, at least out of the box. Because the program is a complete rewrite, existing screen reader configuration files for WinAMP are incapable of working with the new version. While most of the keyboard functionality has been retained, there are some clear regressions in terms of the new player's accessibility. For example, the all-important preferences section is not screen reader friendly. Main Menu has asked a Nullsoft representative to come on the program to discuss this accessibility issue, and we await the response. Given the architecture of the software, it does appear possible, however, for a developer to write a completely accessible version of WinAMP 3, but we're not aware of any plans by anyone to do this at present. High Criteria Software's Total Recorder, a program previously reviewed on Main Menu, has two new versions of its software available. Version 4.0 of the product is free to all existing registered users of past versions, but a new product, Total Recorder Professional, has also been released and offers additional functionality. The professional version is available to users upgrading from the standard edition for $24. There's a host of new features in Total Recorder Professional, including a mini browser in the recording scheduler. The mini browser allows Total Recorder to connect to any predefined internet site and invoke applicable players to play an internet stream. Development of this feature eliminates the requirement that users leave their browsers active and connected to a website if they have scheduled a future recording of an internet stream. Enhanced sound data editing features have been added as well. Users can now delete some of a recording, append a sound file, or insert it anywhere within a recording. They can also use the clipboard for cut, copy, and paste operations. New options in the recording scheduler allow Total Recorder to shut down the PC after a scheduled recording is completed, and also allow the user to initiate and terminate a dial-up connection that facilitates an internet recording. With the new split mode, a recording can now be split automatically into separate files based on several different conditions. For example, a new recording file can automatically be created for each song in a playlist specified by a software player. Alternatively, a new file can be created once the recorded file reaches a certain size or after a specified amount of time. You can restrict a recording by time or disk size, or specify a time limit for no sound being recorded. Advanced automatic file generation facilities let users specify the names of automatically generated files, and this feature complements facilities that are available in the scheduler for split mode features. You can visit the Total Recorder website at www.highcriteria.com. Both sides in the dispute over internet music royalties say they will appeal a recent federal decision setting rates for music broadcast over the internet. In June, the US Copyright Office decided to charge webcasters 0.07 of a cent per song per listener, or half of what a government panel had proposed in February. That decision angered both internet music broadcasters, who said the rate was too high, and the recording industry, which said it didn't fairly compensate artists and record labels. On Wednesday, the deadline for appealing the ruling, the Recording Industry Association of America, which represents major music labels, said it would notify the U.S. Court of Appeal for the District of Columbia Circuit of its intention to appeal. Actual briefs will be filed later this year. About 24 internet broadcasters, including America Online, Listen.com and Live365.com, also gave notice to the court of their intention to appeal, according to the Digital Media Association. And still in the US, television set makers say the government's requirement that new TVs be equipped to receive digital broadcasts within 5 years will burden cable and satellite viewers with the cost of technology they don't need. The government should not tell consumers what to buy, said Gary Shapiro, president of the Consumer Electronics Association, which represents TV manufacturers and plans to appeal the order. The group says the change could add $250 to the price of a TV. The Federal Communications Commission on Thursday ordered that tuners for receiving digital broadcasts be included in all new TVs with screens 13 inches or larger by July 2007. The Commission's action was part of its effort to switch the nation from analog to digital television, which is more versatile and offers better picture quality. FCC commissioners who approved the order 3-1 suggested manufacturers were overstating the cost and predicted a big drop in the price of tuners when they are mass-produced. The tuners will become necessary to receive broadcast programming over the airwaves after the nation switches from analog to digital signals, which is scheduled to happen by 2006 but may take longer. The FCC wants to ensure that anyone who buys a TV can take it home, plug it in, and receive local stations without subscribing to a cable or satellite TV service or buying an extra set-top box for digital signals. While consumers are paying less for their computers, a new survey shows that they're also increasingly unhappy with the level of customer support they're getting with those computers. Consumer Reports magazine, which recently polled subscribers on its website, said this week that the results show customer satisfaction with technical support is down across the PC industry. It's significantly down, said Mark Kotkin, Assistant Director of Survey Research for Consumer Reports. Consumers are particularly concerned with increased time spent on hold, as well as dropped calls to technical support, Kotkin said. The lone bright spot in the survey was Apple Computer, which grabbed the top spot in the survey with a score of 74 out of 100 and was the only company to earn higher marks this year than it did last year. Dell and Gateway were neck and neck with scores of 65 and 64 respectively. Hewlett-Packard was fourth with a score of 56, while Compaq Computer received a score of 52. Microsoft on Thursday agreed to make sweeping changes to its passport authentication system as part of a settlement agreement with the Federal Trade Commission. The settlement addresses allegations that Passport collects too much information, uses unfair or deceptive practices, and fails to adequately protect the privacy and security of personal information, particularly of children. The FTC's investigation and settlement came in response to a series of complaints made against Passport last summer, said agency chairman Timothy Murris. Passport is Microsoft's online authentication system, which allows users to use a single sign-in to access multiple websites. The idea behind Passport is simple. Microsoft would collect and store an ID, password, and other personal information, such as a shipping address or credit card number. This electronic wallet would travel around the web with a consumer, making it easier to engage in a range of online transactions, such as banking, making travel plans, or subscribing to an online publication. AOL Time Warner and Sun Microsystems have backed services using a similar concept. Microsoft uses Passport authentication for its MSN Messenger and Hotmail email services, Microsoft Developer Network online access, and Microsoft Reader ebook purchases, among other product and service offerings. The service also is a cornerstone for .NET, Microsoft's slowly evolving web services strategy. But critics have assailed the plan on several fronts, particularly privacy and security, and the FTC on Thursday agreed in some points. The FTC outlined its findings in a 6-page complaint. Many of the problems resulted from Microsoft failing to adhere to its own privacy statements about Passport, Passport Wallet, or Kids Passport. As part of the settlement agreed, Microsoft has changed its privacy statements to accurately reflect what information is collected and how it's used. A public beta of Microsoft's Windows Media Player 9 is to be released on the 4th of September. Last month, Microsoft designated its next-generation media technology, which was codenamed Corona, Windows Media 9. Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates will officially unveil the technology and the first public beta in Los Angeles during a Hollywood-style gala evening in September. Microsoft wouldn't comment on the features ahead of the official beta launch. When available, Windows Media Player 9 is set to work with Windows XP and other versions of the operating system. Version 8 was only available to Windows XP users. Judging by the most recent test version of the software, Windows Media Player 9 is chock-full of new features, some of them like those on competing products. For example, the player adds auto playlists, which is similar to the Smart Playlist feature part of Apple Computer's iTunes 3 released last month. Both use rules to quickly organize digital music files. The new Windows Media comes with 14 pre-configured auto playlists, such as Late Night Music, compared with iTunes 4 preset lists. Both programs can also organize playlists based on rating. By default, Windows Media Player assigns all songs 3 stars on a scale of 1 to 5. Windows Media Player 9 also adds crossfading between songs, similar to the transitions heard on the radio, and the user has control over the duration of the overlap between two songs. Apple introduced a similar feature with iTunes 2, and of course that's available in Winamp and RealPlayer. Windows Media Player 9 also can adjust the sound levels between songs, a long-standing feature of other media players, including Music Mac Jukebox and Winamp. When the user minimizes the program to the Windows taskbar, a mini player control appears on the taskbar for listening to digital media, adjusting sound, or accessing other commonly used features. Windows Media Player 9 also comes with about 20 skins for changing the look of the player, and more are available when Microsoft's Windows XP Plus is installed. Like its predecessor, Windows Media Player 9 offers only limited support for MP3 files, unless the user pays for an add-in product. The media program will play MP3s, but won't rip files in the format without extra cost third-party components. But Microsoft has beefed up support for Windows Media Audio, WMA, files. Computer users can rip songs in standard WMA format, WMA variable rate, and WMA professional. The video acceleration settings control adds a new option for video smoothing. The new player now plays video CDs. Microsoft has also beefed up DVD audio, with settings supporting home theater speaker systems using Dolby Audio. But like its predecessor, the new player requires a third-party DVD encoder for viewing of DVD movies. Microsoft has no plans to provide one, the company said last month. The Media Library Control serves up a host of new options, such as downloading song or video file metadata, or automatically adding purchased music to the media library. There are also changes involving security and privacy, areas of increased Microsoft interest since the company put in full motion its Trustworthy Computing initiative earlier this year. The Security Zone Settings tab links to the same feature governing defaults for Internet Explorer, Outlook and Outlook Express. Users can choose whether to run scripts. With Windows Media Player 9, users now can control whether Internet sites can identify the player. The control is set to block in the recent beta. Users also can decide whether the program tracks CD and DVD song history, which is sometimes used by external services for identifying tracks. The default setting in the most recent beta is Track This Information. A Dutch internet service provider has accidentally spammed a former customer with hundreds of confidential emails. The problem started when Albert Curvers tried to cancel his subscription with cable operator Casima. Instead of ending his service, the company sent him emails containing the confidential banking details of hundreds of its customers. Curvers got his revenge by contacting some of the people whose details he had received and telling them about the breach in security. The customers were horrified at the news, he said. Casima spokesman Henk de Goet has apologized to Curvers and the other customers, but said that he was unsure of how the mistake happened. We want to send Mr. Curvers a big bunch of flowers to say sorry, he added. And the cell phone of the future might no longer be so easy to lose. It could be woven into your shirt. A Santa Fe, New Mexico company has created a smart thread out of a plastic-like polymer it has created and patented. The thread, which feels similar to nylon but conducts electricity like a metal, can replace traditional threads in fabric to give a shirt, pants or blanket computer-like abilities, it says. Clothing made with the material can sense conditions around it and inside the person wearing it. For example, a shirt could monitor the outside temperature and heat or cool itself to make its wearer more comfortable, or it could monitor the pulse and blood pressure of an athlete. In the case of the cell phone shirt, all of the components of a cell phone would be integrated into the shirt's fabric. The earpiece and speaker could either be integrated into the shirt, attached to it, or used wirelessly. It's estimated the cell phone technology could hit the market in 3 to 4 years. With fashion in mind, the thread could be used to make shirts that constantly change color, or change color based on the wearer's preference for the day. And that's News Briefs for this week.